Lately in PHP Podcast, I'm Manuel Lemos, the regular host and developer of the PHP Classes site. And as usual, I have here with me Hernani Joppert. Hello, Hernani. How are you doing?
Hello, Manuel. Welcome back. And I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting me again.
Well, you are a regular co-host, so you don't need to thank me all the time. Anyway, in this edition, we have with us Chris Carnot, also known as Enigma, is the developer of the phpdeveloper.org site, and also joined in site project of his own that we'll be also talking in this edition. Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
Hello. Doing good. A little hot here in Texas, but not too bad.
Oh, here in Brazil is quite the opposite. It's colder than usual. Usually it's quite hot, but this is winter over here. So we are trying to survive because it's colder than usual. Anyway, moving on with our podcast, there are a few things I would like to mention. In the last podcast, since it was the first, it was not yet in iTunes, but I registered it, and in the show notes there will be the URL for the page in the iTunes store site where you can go there and register, or you can use the iTunes program to find it there. Talking also about podcasts, I would like to mention other interesting podcasts that I usually listen. If you are not familiar with other existing podcasts, there is a very interesting site, phppodcasts.com, which is run by Carl Evans. It's a sort of an aggregator, and I think it was a great idea by Carl Evans to have all interesting podcasts about PHP and some about related issues aggregated there, so it will be easier for everybody to find them. Another podcast that I usually listen is the podcast of SitePoint. It's very interesting. It's not specific of PHP, but I use it regularly. And I find interesting, if you are on to web development, you also will find it interesting. And, well, anyway, what about you guys? What podcasts do you also listen regularly? Chris?
Well, it's not really a specific podcast, I guess, but I really enjoy the conferences like PHP Tech and the Dutch PHP conference and all that have made their recorded sessions available kind of in a podcast format. Yeah. For those people that, you know, weren't able to come or just want to listen along and follow along with the slides, it's perfect. It's really nice to have those, and you know, they release them semi-regularly, so you always have a new one to listen to every once in a while.
Yeah.
Those are pretty nice.
Yeah. You mean the recordings of the sessions?
Yeah.
Once in a while, the guys from Zend also published the sessions from ZendCon.
Yeah, they did that last year, I think. Are they doing it again this year? I haven't looked.
Well, not lately. But they usually do it sort of promoting the event. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's kind of a nice marketing stunt that we always appreciate, because you can kind of get to know about interesting sessions that went on the event. I also forgot to mention the PHP Architect podcast, which I'll always listen once there is a new episode. Lately, it has been hosted by Carl Evans and Keith Casey and Mark Tabini when he can, I think. I think originally it was started by Marcus Whitney, but it was called
the Pro PHP podcast.
Yeah,
because I helped him start it.
Yeah. Ah, so you are quite familiar.
It's been a long time.
Right. We haven't listened much about Marcus Whitney. He's probably been too busy, but I think he did a great job, Dan. He kind of started the podcast scene in PHP.
And actually, speaking, just real quick, speaking of the PHP Architect stuff, I like that their webcast series, they've also released those kind of in a more or less a podcast kind of format. You know, they always have those webcasts leading up to the conferences, and those are good sessions too.
Yeah, right.
Those are enjoyable.
Yes, I also appreciate. What about you, Ernan? Any podcast you would like to mention?
Yeah, the cycles are related with technologies. The Jason Calacanis is one. This week in startups, the Leo Laporte. This week in tech is very nice. It's very enthusiastic and a lot of discussions about technology. And PHP Architect as well as Carl Evans. Those are really nice podcasts related with the PHP world.
Yeah. Also, you mentioned some podcasts that are not really about PHP or web development. I'll also follow some of those that you mentioned, the tweet of Leo Laporte and This Week in Startups, which is more a video podcast, if we can call it so. And there is also one that I listen once there is a new episode. There isn't been much, which is the Killer Innovation podcast by Phil McKinney, which is the CTO of HP. He talks about a lot about innovation and how to innovate and the innovation process. It's not really specific of technology, but it's interesting for all of us that somehow trying to develop stuff that is innovative and is somewhat related with web development. Yet another podcast that I try to listen when I can is Texting Live. This is a podcast run by Justin Vincent and Jason Roberts. They cover subjects that include PHP and web development, but it's mainly in the scope of some entrepreneurship projects that the hosts have with them. Well, what is curious about this podcast is not so much about the subjects, but the actual way that led me to find that podcast. It turns out that Justin Vincent is, or at least was, a contributor of the PHP classes site. He actually submitted a class that became reasonably popular, named Easy SQL. And I noticed that he was sort of ranting about the PHP classes site recently in Twitter. I have a way to monitor Twitter because I'm not an heavy Twitter user. Actually, I'm not really I don't consider myself a frequent Twitter user, but I try to keep up things that are related to PHP classes site and that people are commenting in Twitter. What I realized is that Justin was sort of ranting about the site in Twitter. I do not recall exactly what he was complaining, but it was interesting, and I try to always give some feedback to people that mention things about the site in Twitter, probably because it is something that they don't like or something that is misunderstood, and I try to clarify or give some feedback about the features that are being implemented to address the problems that they are finding. Looking a bit with more attention to Justin's profile, I found out his podcast, and I think it was very interesting to mention, because they cover issues that affect many of us that are trying to implement their sites as also as their own businesses. So if you are an entrepreneur that is trying to succeed in the web developed world with your own sites, I strongly suggest to also take a look at their podcast. Other than that, there is also a podcast that I'm helping on. I'm participating. I'm just a co-host, which is the Web Insider podcast. But this one is in Portuguese. It's done with the owner of the Web Insider site, which is basically a site in Brazil that has a lot of articles about technology and web development in general. But moving on with our podcast and talking about podcasts, there are also a few things that I have added lately in the PHP Classes site. Other than the Twitter account that is aggregates the content that is being published in the site, there is also a special Twitter account named PHP Classes Early, which is where I try to post in advance things that I'm working on at the moment, and which will become new features once they are done. So I will also publish the URLs in the show notes. If you are interested in knowing what is going on in the development of the site, it will be interesting to follow that Twitter account. I have also started a page for the PHP classes in Facebook, and also another one in FormSpring, just to know about things that questions that people have about the site, that they want to know about the features, why something is done this way, and how to do something that people may have been having difficulty. And talking about that, now getting back to our host, to Chris Cornett. Chris, do you also have pages in Facebook, FormSpring, and other than the Twitter account that I know that you have?
Well, I have Twitter accounts for both sites, PHP Developer and then JoinDen. I only have a Facebook site or Facebook page for JoinDen, though, and a lot of that is kind of driven by the whole open source project too, not just the site itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never really, I mean, I thought about doing one for PHP Developer a while back, but it would just be kind of redundant. So
yeah,
since it's just a blog aggregating all this stuff.
I have started a page in Facebook, but I'm not sure if it will be something that will be worth keeping an eye on or attention. It's just like something, a latest trend that many sites have started to have pages on Facebook, but I'm really not watching much that space. Now that you also mentioned your projects, it would be interesting if you could tell our audience about each of them. How did you start them? When did you start them? Why? Obviously starting from the first phpdeveloper.org.
Let's see. phpdeveloper.org started probably about 2000. Well, I don't know when the first version of the site was. The domain is registered in 2001, so that's kind of when I start things.
Yeah.
And really the only reason I started it was because I like keeping up with technology. I like keeping up with, you know, the latest in PHP and all that. And I figured I might as well share it, you know, get it out there and let other people read about it. At the time, you know, there was stuff like Slashdot and a couple other aggregation kind of sites out there, but there really wasn't anything for PHP that I saw.
Yeah, I kind of see it like the Slashdot for PHP because of that style.
Well, I appreciate it.
No, it's really because Slashdot, I don't go there for many years because it's too much content, too much news, too much volume to keep up, and it's not really focused on the things that interest us most. And back to phpdeveloper.org, as I had the opportunity to tell you when I met you personally in 2008 in Seattle, actually Redmond, where we met personally in that Microsoft event, the Web Development Summit. I really admire your effort because I know it takes a lot of time to even if you just share it in a few lines, what you have seen somewhere else, articles, events or something that is worth following on. You publish quite a good amount of articles a day, and doing that every day and that not being your day job, it really shows a lot of dedication, and I'm sure me and others appreciate it, and I hope you can keep up for a long time.
Well, I'm glad it's helpful. I think I have, what was the last count, over 430 feeds in my feed reader, and I try to kind of filter through them each day. Thankfully, a lot of them don't have a whole bunch of content. But
did you say 400? 400?
Yeah, 400 and some odd, yeah, something like
really?
That.
Really? Do you really have that much time to follow those?
Well, and see, now, granted, probably a third of those at least haven't published content in, a year or two, three.
They just
happen to still be in there. But there's probably maybe 50, 60 that publish content daily. And a lot of that, you just kind of dismiss outright because it's just not relevant to PHP at all. It's some other topic. But, there's stuff that, I just don't get to each day. And it's getting more and more. And I try to post seven or eight a day, six articles, something like that. That's about all I have time for. But.
Yeah, well, I think it's still quite a lot. Just so you have an idea, even though phpclasses.org is my day job, so to speak, I struggle to keep up with publishing two or three classes a day. It's different because I have to actually review what people have published.
Right.
I can describe it in hopefully in proper English, because many of the contributors are not from a country where English is the mother language. English is also not my mother language, but hopefully I'm able to describe what they did in a more clear way that many of them actually do. I think your work at phpdeveloper.org is the volume, the submissions that you, all the articles that you publish are written by you, or some are contributions that you actually write?
Every once in a while I'll get a contribution, but not very often. Usually it's just me.
Yeah.
And I'll write them all. I spend, I think it's about an hour or so, or hour and a half, depending, each morning, and I'll write them all in the morning.
Yeah.
And then they're aggregated out. They're set to different times during the day, so they kind of space out.
Okay.
So it's not, I tried the whole, write it during the day kind of thing, and it just got too in the way. So I figured I'd do it all up front and then let it go out during the day. And if there's something special that happens to pop up, some announcement about a conference or whatever, then I'll go ahead and put that out immediately.
Oh, I see.
But for the most part, it's just spread out.
Yeah. Well, for me, phpdeveloper.org and then PlanetPHP are the main PHP sources of news. I really appreciate, as I mentioned, all the effort to do, because I would not have time to, even PlanetPHP, I don't have time to review all the submissions, all the articles that are aggregated there. So there are duplicates, actually, that you, once in a while, you mentioned stuff that was aggregated there, but you also pick interesting stuff from other sites, and it's quite a valuable effort that you kind of do for the benefit of all of us. Okay, but moving on, we were talking about the project. So you started it right back. When was it? Actually, 2001, 2002.
Yeah, it's almost 10 years old now.
Yeah. Do you?
Time flies.
Yeah. Did you have a 10th birthday party or?
Not yet. I guess it would be next year. I think it's like in August is when the domain was registered. So. Yeah. Maybe middle of next year.
Yeah.
I'll have to plan something.
How many articles have you published there until now?
That is a really good question.
You need to check.
Yeah, give me 2 seconds and I could tell you.
Yeah, sure.
My auto increment is up to 14,635.
Wow, that's a lot.
No, I'm sure there's some gaps in there, but still, that's about right.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a, well, certainly a large number of articles. And do you, I noticed you have some advertising in there. Do you get any significant revenue from there or just
from the Google ads, that's the really the only consistent ads on there. Between those and the ones that are on Joined In, I get basically enough to pay for hosting. So it's not a lot, but it's enough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's certainly better than nothing. Well, yeah. Google ads are not paying a big deal these days.
No.
It used to be much better like 3 years ago.
Yeah. And they finally wised up and dropped the rates.
No, I'm not sure what happened, but I think it was there are too many publishers in the in the market. At the same time, the crisis started, and all contributed to lower the revenue that it generates for publishers. So better not count on that as main revenue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then more recently, you started the Joined In project.
Mm-hmm.
This I have to admit I'm not so familiar about it. Actually, I only recently I noticed this. It's actually your project. I've seen it a few years ago when it started, but I didn't quite pay attention. It was yours, and it seemed like a new startup project that about events and everything that could help event organizers to actually do it. But then I realized it was something that you started. Can you give an overview of what it does and how it can be useful for people that participate in events?
Yeah, sure. Actually, just a little background first. The initial idea for it was at ZenCon 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago by now. Keith Casey and I were talking about the paper forms that you get at conferences to fill out and say how you thought the talk was and all that. And he said, well, why isn't there a site out there that does this except online?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a great idea. That's a perfect idea. And so
it solves a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I bounced some ideas off of him and a couple other people and kind of started the site up and got it going. And actually, in the PHP community, it's heavily used. It's being relatively used by other groups. Slowly, I think people are kind of catching on. The site basically for those that aren't sure, the main goal of it is to provide events an easy way to post the information about their event and post any kind of sessions and stuff underneath it, like a conference, really, and to make it easy for people to come and give feedback on that.
Yeah.
They can give anonymous feedback. They can log in. Usually most people actually do log in and give their feedback that way. Almost never see anonymous comments come through. But I know the last PHP TechX used it really heavily. The Dutch PHP conference that's going on right now is using it really heavily. I think they've only had like 10 sessions today, the tutorial day, and there's already almost 30 comments on those.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
It's building up pretty quickly. I've been really happy with the the reception, and plus the whole other side of it, like I mentioned earlier, the open source project. You know, we've had some great contributors putting in some good patches and features and wanting to help, and you know, we've got mailing lists, and you know, it just keeps going. And you know, once you get that ball rolling, there's almost no way to stop it. So
it was mainly a hobby that you started, and then you opened the source of the project?
Yeah, I think it was maybe about a year or so ago that I opened the source for it. It's written with the CodeIgniter framework, so it's nothing, you know, it's not Zend or Symfony or anything like that. So it's nice and simple. Anybody can jump into it and, you know, really get into the code pretty easily. But
Do you already have many contributors?
We've got, I know we've had at least 5 or 6 people that have contributed patches. Lorna Mitchell's pretty heavily involved with, she did a lot of work on the API, rewriting some of my bad code. And we've actually got 2 guys, one that wrote a iPhone application for it, and one that's written an Android application for it.
Great, those seem to be quite significant contributions.
So it's I was pretty happy about those.
But those are people that are also frequently involved in events, right?
You know, actually, I don't know if
Lorna Mitchell.
Lorna is
frequently participating in an event.
Yeah, she's actually running the Dutch PHP conference this year.
So yes, I noticed.
In a big role. But yeah, a lot of the people are pretty involved with the events. You know, and it kind of, they hear about the project from being at the event that it's being used at, you know, and then they want to get involved with it, kind of a roundabout way, I guess. But it's good though.
Yes, since you opened the source, and I don't know if this question will make sense, but I'll still ask it anyway. Did you ever consider in turning this into a business, or at least a source of revenue, or you are not very much inclined to pursue that route?
Well, I think one of the main things, and one of the big keys to the site's success so far, is making the basic functionality, you know, listing an event, getting feedback for the event, kind of managing it in general, that's all been free. That's been available to anybody that wants to come in and set it up. I have considered, you know, things on top of that, additional things that the events could use, or additional features, that kind of stuff that could potentially be used for revenue in the future. But as it stands right now, the project is free and open to whoever wants to use whatever features.
Right. Well, because I think since it has some value that it can provide to event organizers, it probably could be a good idea, but I didn't know if you ever considered that route.
Yeah, I thought about it. You know, nothing, obviously nothing firm, but it's been thought about.
Okay. Well, and anyway, you have been quiet. I don't know if you are familiar with Chris's site. I don't know if you have anything to comment.
Oh, yes. The aggregations of news from a PHP developer is one of the sites that I'm more familiar with because of the history built on top of it, and the way it organizes the information is very nice to catch up with PHP related articles, as well as I mentioned before, I used to listen to PHP Architect podcasts, and I also follow up their blog, which is a very helpful source. And Johnny Dean, since you've mentioned that you were inviting Chris for this, I've been checking it out, and for the most part, I didn't deeply look at it, but it looks very promising functionality that I've never seen anywhere else, and I'm sure that this is a helpful solution for events organizer and could be for a lot more.
Yeah. Well, but let's move on to other subjects of this podcast. And I don't know if you have anything else to mention other than what we have been discussing so far about your site.
Oh, do you mind if I mention that about the open source project for joined in.
No, sure, of
just,
course.
If anybody wants to take a look at it, it is on GitHub. You can go to the, I think it's the about section on joined in and find a link to it, or you can just search on GitHub for joined in.
Yeah, we'll add a link in the show notes section of the podcast.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. But moving on to another topic that I would like to mention in this this podcast, and this is something that probably Hernan is more familiar, is about about Flex, Flash in general, and actually the applications written PHP to use the, this technology now from Adobe. It used to be from Macromedia, but it was sold. And I don't know, Chris, do you use PHP with Flex or Flash in your job?
No, actually, I haven't really used it very much. I've only just kind of read tutorials and articles and stuff. I know, I think Cal and Keith are both doing some posts on it right now for a project they're working on with Flex, but I don't remember what specifically they've talked about.
Yes, actually, I've seen a few articles also by Marco Tabini, and I actually seen an article recently about this. Actually, not exactly Flex, but Air, Adobe Air, that could you use PHP natively to do some kind of integration, and it seemed interesting. Personally, I don't use much, actually any Flash or Flex. I don't have much for or against the technologies. I've written an article about HTML5. I think a few, I don't know, probably 2 years ago. Not sure. Basically, HTML5 has been catching up on many things that so far only Flash or probably Java applets could provide for the development of web applications. And in my opinion, once HTML5 it becomes widely spread, widely adopted in the browsers that most people use, it will probably, there will be not much sense in using Flash except for legacy applications. And talking about Flex, lately I've been discussing a bit about this with Hernani, and I know he's a big fan of Flex. Hernani, what do you have to say about this?
Oh yes, I guess that this buzz about HTML5 and Flash, the Flash platform in every sense, will generate even more buzz. And we actually tend to know that Flash is going to be replaced rather sooner than later. But in my perspective, I feel that this migration, if it happens, it will take a subsequent amount of time. And because Flash, especially the latest plugin, has a lot of potential by having peer-to-peer streaming, so you could pretty much run in a Flash-based project, a communication between one machine to another without any requirements to have a master server. So applications could pretty much talk to each other by using Adobe's protocols and definitions. And Adobe is pretty much involved into releasing specifications and pretty much technologies based on open source. Of course, that the plugin itself is not open source at all, but Flex is an open source technology, and the compiler for Flex is an open source technology. And I feel that this has a lot of potential, especially now that Google adopted the whole platform on Android, I feel that you could benefit from developing AIR applications as well as Flex websites and with a pretty much more richer user experience. And another great point about this is that you don't have to struggle by dealing with different browsers and different behaviors and hacking CSS scripts and JavaScript in order to accomplish a very easy task, which is display of animations and transitions of pages and things that takes a lot of time to develop when you're a ninja of jQuery or any kind of JavaScript framework. So I feel that Flex has a lot of potential and will keep here for a long time, and I hope I am correct about it.
Yeah, I already knew that you were a big defender of the Flex because you probably also already, like you, many people have invested a lot of time in studying the platform and developing components for to use in their Flash or Flex-based applications. And there is also the...
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, yes. Just to address one particularity of it, is that most applications that are based on a RESTful services, they are either based on JavaScript object JSON, right, and XML or SOAP protocol. And Adobe has released a very powerful binary format to communicate between Flex application and the servers that are tied with it. In case Zend is investing a lot of efforts on AMF protocol, with Zend AMF framework. There are other languages as well adopting this. And this protocol has a lot of potential because you can pretty much stream some rows, let's say 20,000 rows in seconds. And you can do client-side validation, client-side ordering, and it doesn't really damage any performance on the machine. And JavaScript performance has increased a lot of increased significantly in the past compared with the past browsers and interpreters. But I feel that it's a bit far from my personal acceptance. And I feel that Flash has way much potential to compete with us right now.
So you feel it's more or less of the maturity of the libraries or components that exist for Flash when compared with the JavaScript libraries. Do you think the JavaScript libraries still have to catch up a lot to match what you find in the Flash Flex world?
Yes, one of the main issues that there is a bit of one side fighting with another side by presenting a footprint comparison between Flash applications and JavaScript applications. It's okay because normally today we have several ISP providers, and most of the internet heavy users and pretty much people with a web 2.0 experience are seeking for a more rich user experience. And, you know, data exchange between a website and a browser is could be a potential harm, but not comparing this situation with a user performance experience. So if I'm browsing a website who is very slow when transitioning from one action to another, instead of loading the whole website in the first time, I feel that I could trade off of this first initial load in comparison to by browsing each time, each section of the application and having to reload or wait for JavaScript operations to complete. Yeah. And I feel that Flash has because it's a native plugin for each platform, it benefits from this side. And as well as the AMF protocol, and I strongly recommend for PHP developers to check it out. Actually, one of the evangelists from Adobe, his name is James Ward. He did a lot of work on this, and he wrote one application which is named Census. And this application does a lot of background comparison between ways to communicate with a backend server. So you can do it using web services, you can do it using XML, you can do it using SOAP, you can do it with the AMF protocol. And the AMF protocol has a lot of advantage because it's a binary format, and it sorts of uses, it's somehow a compression mechanism. So the data transition between client and server is very small and very powerful. And the serialization and deserialization of objects between client and server, in any case, in any language, it's way, way more fast than anything else I've ever seen comparing frameworks here and there. That's the point.
Well, I don't know if you are familiar. Well, HTTP supports compression natively, so it's not the fact that AMF supports compression that will be the big difference, I think, in my opinion, because you can just send requests to the server and compress the data with which is a built-in feature in most browsers, to not say all browsers now in use these days. And with HTML5, which is not the HTML that matters, but the JavaScript APIs, I don't see much difference. I don't see many features that Flash could provide, and they are not provided by the different API specifications for JavaScript in the HTML5 specification. Do you see any features of the HTML5 under the Flash AMF protocol that are significant things that are missing for web applications with and without Flash?
Well, yes. The whole point is that I know that most of the HTTP protocol is catching, the HTML5 specification is catching up with this rich internet experience demand. And it's a matter of time that HTML5 gets close to what Flash and Flex can do. But the AMF protocol is something that goes a little bit decoupled from this overview. It's sort of like a standard to exchange data between one application and another by serializing objects here in a binary type format and sending it over through HTTP or through any TCP communication over sockets or any kind of other protocol. And in the other side, the deserialization of this information, it's way faster than any XML parser that's available or JSON parser available. So it's I feel it's a more mature and more performant solution.
Yeah.
This is one small part of the whole thing. And another thing that I'm invoked by curiosity, and I've been studying it a little bit, if the time allows me, is the communication, the Flash streaming, the RTMP protocol, which Adobe has defined. And the RTMP protocol performs streaming of video on demand from Flash clients. And okay, the HTML5 does a file, you specify a file source, and it streams the video over to you. But it has no protocol for streaming video, which has a lot of demand nowadays. And I'm not aware of anything in the side for now. And I am involved into Red 5 project, which is a streaming server for Flash video. And it does a lot of good things for the open source community because it's an open source solution. So
okay.
That is the whole general perspective from Flash that I do have.
Yes, I think those are issues that raise a lot of debate between pros and cons. There is also now the debate of Apple versus Adobe because Apple refuses to support Flash in iPhones and iPads, and I don't really I think there is a lot to say about that, but we don't have the time. Anyway, I just want to comment on something that I remember. There is there are compilers that sort of convert Flash SWF containers into HTML5 with JavaScript. That probably could be a way to go for those people that really insist in using Flash features in those Apple devices, but I'm not sure if they will be able to perform every aspect that of Flash applications. Anyway, that is a subject that would give us a lot to discuss about, and but we have to move on. Now practically reaching the end of our podcast, one regular feature is to comment a little bit about some classes that were nominated to the PHP Programming Innovation Award that PHP Classes sites organize every month. And in April, some classes were nominated, and the winners were announced in June after computing the votes from the users. I don't know if you guys have noticed any classes that would be worth mentioning. I'll just comment a few about a few of those that I think that were more interesting, at least from my viewpoint. There is a file system wrapper class to access blobs, practically files, stored in MongoDB database, which is very interesting because you can use regular file functions to access blobs in a MongoDB database. It was written by Cesar Rodas, which is a regular contributor of the PHP Classes site. He also contributed an interesting article about MongoDB. Other than that, there is an interesting API for accessing the Webmaster Tools service provided by Google, which gives a lot of interesting statistics about sites for webmasters. And other than that, there is also another interesting class which solves a very complicated problem for sites that have newsletters in HTML. This inline style class, that what it does basically is to convert all CSS, that is all definitions in CSS that are in an HTML page, to inline style declarations and apply them directly to the HTML tags. This is interesting because some web mail systems, I think it's Gmail, and not sure about Yahoo Mail, that totally wipes out any CSS declarations that you have in HTML newsletters. So this is quite interesting solution. And other than that, there is also an interesting class for people, now that the iPad device was launched and it seems to be becoming reasonably popular. There is a class for publishing, for generating ebooks in the EPUB format, which is, it seems interesting for people that want to distribute ebooks or publications in that format, so they can use in their iPads. Did you notice any other interesting classes from these that were nominating this time, Chris?
Actually, you pretty much touched on all of them. I was going to mention the MongoDB and that the EPUB one. Those were the two that really interested me.
Yeah.
But yeah, you already kind of covered those.
Right. What about you, Hernani? Any class you think would be also worth mentioning?
Yes, as Chris mentioned, you went pretty much over all of those cool ones. And one that caught my attention is the firewall, which is sort of the creative, it describes the creative process of building your own custom components and sharing with others. It brings a lot of potential for special situations, and the firewall one caught my attention as well.
Yeah, that's also an interesting class. Although there are others somewhat similar that seem to outstand because it sort of used a similar format for blocking addresses, IP addresses from users accessing the site, but it uses a format that is similar to configuration files for firewalls like IP tables used in Linux and probably others that I don't know. Okay, that's I think we pretty much covered all that I think that were more worth mentioning. And finally, reaching the end of our podcast. As usual, I have this section where I ask our guest, Chris Cornert in this case, about two things. One each is one thing that you like in PHP classes, and another thing which should be what you dislike. Probably you have different opinions of different things, but let's hear about what you have to say.
Well, as far as what I like about it, there is quite a bit of quite a bit of code on there. You know, you definitely come in there and find a class that can do relatively what you need, you know, at the very least, and modify it. But there's tons of stuff in there. So it seems like every time I search for something, anything on Google, at least one link comes up for it. I guess as far as things I don't like, the only thing that I worry about with the site is the amount of overlap and the quality of the code that might be overlapping. You know, I mean, I know there are a lot of classes that do really similar things in there, and I guess it worries me a little bit that somebody would pick up one that may not be as high quality as it should be, you know, and they might have a security vulnerability in there or, you know, some other issue that might the author may not have thought of. And, you know, I mean, obviously you guys can't go through every single submission and figure out this stuff.
Right.
But, you know, that's a concern. So.
Yeah. No, it's somewhat similar to what Guillermo Blanco, that also came in the previous podcast, that mentioned about it. And I pretty much understand those concerns. They're pretty much valid. And there is a resource that allows the users to vote on the classes that they think are better for from those that they liked. So they actually can vote not really up or down, but can classify in different aspects. And the idea is somewhat to help people to distinguish which are the classes that they think can be more appreciated. They just need to go in the categories of the classes and sort them. There is a listing named top rated in the category page, and there you just find the classes that were actually rated, which pretty much exclude many classes that probably were not even worth rating according to the users. And then it sorts them according to the grade that each one received that is something that already exists for a few years, but since I noticed several people start to come up with that complaint, probably the user interface is not making it very obvious. So it gives me something to think about. How can I improve that to make it more obvious for the users searching for the best, or at least the more appreciated components for certain purposes? How can they find those components instead of having to go through many classes for the same purposes? But
Yes, Manuel, I'm sure you probably thought about it, and I guess that one way to improve this issue is actually build a social behavior, like as we are getting used to with Facebook and any other social interaction, as Gig is going to look at, you can probably browse in order of user ratings, and as well as you have one author of classes that you trust. So actually you could find a way to list the classes that I trust more, and someone who trusts me would then find recommendations by myself and go seeking that process, and this would even improve the social behavior of your website. So it's just one idea that I had now, and it could be that I could forget, so I guess it's worth mentioning.
Yeah, it seems interesting idea. Actually, it's not the first time that get a suggestion that somewhat goes along those lines of including a sort of a rating from friends of or people that you trust in terms of recommendations. So that will be something that I will think about over the time, and we'll see. Well, we practically ended our podcast, and I'd like to thank to Chris Cornett once again for making yourself available and sharing about your experience, your comments and views. And I would like to ask if you have anything else to add just to end our podcast.
No, nothing really I can think of. Thanks for having me.
Well, that was great. And Hernani, we'll see you also next time. We'll try to keep the level of the guests that we have been having so far. And I think that's all for now.
Yes, thanks to everyone, and I'm really pleasant to be here. And I wish to thank Chris for participating, and as well to contributing to the open source and to the PHP world as well. So thanks, everyone.
Okay, bye.
Bye.